The shelves are lined with incredibly spooky cereals, and I understand this is a time of fear, but I would encourage you, listener, to try to push through. Count Chocula will not hurt you. Frankenberry, sweetheart. Booberry, absolute dream. Yummy Mummy, kind of a butthead, but in absentia, so we're fine. And, you know, there's more. Fruit Brute, less said the better. The point is, there's no reason to be scared when you've got cereal by your side. And us, The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. Hi, my name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
And my name is Dan Gubert, and I am a cereal sommelier. Have I said that one before? I had
to. There's no way of knowing. I am so pleased that you're here for this show, which we call a meditative podcast about cereal. And what that means is, for the next half hour or so, you are tasked with nothing so much as just thinking about cereal. That's it. We'll have some news and some reviews, and then we'll have some fun, really cut loose in the third segment. If you're headed off to sleep, I wish you the best of dreams. Don't forget some deep breathing. That's nice. And we're so flattered that you've put the trust in us to shepherd you off to dreamland. But there is still business to attend to. Like, Dan, this one's scary, man. Our incredible powers
manifested this.
Yeah.
It only took the entire time that I've been writing about cereal to make this happen. Like,
yeah.
Both me and Gabe from Cereal Time specifically have been asking for this, and it's kind of been our dream cereal product that we really just never thought it was going to happen because, like, you know, it's such a good idea, and there's so many really good cereal ideas that because they're just so obviously good, you know that the irrational cereal industry just isn't going to do them. Mm-hmm. So it's something that is a long time coming, and without further ado, it is Gingerbread Toast Crunch.
Wow. Wow.
So I'll just take that
in. It's finally here, folks.
Well, it's not here quite yet, but it will be.
Well, it's finally almost here.
Year. I mean, Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch has been a cult favorite for years, and that one is also coming back. But in the past, they've kind of paired Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch with far less exciting ones like the Cinnamon Star Crunch and other sort of, you know, lackluster imitations of the most iconic, in my opinion, Christmas cookie flavor, that being Gingerbread Men. And it just seems like a natural fit for the most iconic cinnamon cereal of all time to just add a few more spices and hopefully a little molasses in this case to make something truly, truly great. I'm not going to speak too far ahead of time, but just the fact that this exists has me so deeply excited, and I think it's going to be a warm and toasty winter indeed.
I was trying to do a little research and think about it, but I don't know that there's been a cereal from a major producer that has incorporated ginger as a flavor.
There was Gingerbread Life came out.
Oh, right.
But it was kind of forgettable. It's just, I don't know, a lot of people like Life cereal. I'm not trying to inject too hot of a take here, but I just think the texture of Life leaves a little bit to be desired in my perspective. It's a little not crunchy enough when it's dry, and then when it gets into milk, it kind of just dissolves. So
I really like soggy Life, though. I really a big spoonful of that, it's real dense. I like it. That'll be exciting. I hope they go hard. And my worry, and I think the pitfall for them, is if they don't bring enough of the ginger flavor. I hope that it's a little bit assertive, because that's what I like.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's got to be molasses forward. That's what I'm all about.
Delicious. Now, the cereal tendrils are spreading out once again, with a new cereal adjacent release.
Mm-hmm. So we're getting more cereal flavored waffles. There's a couple others that we're going to be discussing later in the review segment of this episode, but coming soon is Cinnamon Toast Crunch waffles as well as Cocoa Puffs waffles from sort of Pillsbury. And it's interesting here to see that the Pillsbury Doughboy has usurped, you know, both the Cinemojis and Sonny the Cuckoo on the boxes here. This is his product, his game. The cereals are just sort of living in it.
Yeah. They're a guest in his home.
Yeah. I don't really get frozen waffles too often, as will be further exemplified by my experience later in the review section. But, I mean, I'm definitely going to try these.
Will you? I mean, I've become disillusioned with the cinnamon toast thing. I feel like it is not as adaptable and iconic of a flavor as like Fruity Pebbles when that's brought into something. I feel like, or Fruit Loops, maybe you get that flavor. I just feel like a lot of products that use Cinnamon Toast Crunch flavor are just not distinct enough to really like read as Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Right. I don't think they ever have it focused quite enough. Like in some products, it'll just taste like cinnamon spice. Sometimes it'll taste like cinnamon sugar. Sometimes it'll be like a buttery cinnamon roll. And sometimes, very rarely, it'll actually be like the cereal itself. So
yeah,
it's really hard to tell.
I'm shocked that these are new, but apparently Frosted Flakes milk, bottled, saving you the trouble of eating the Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, so a new Nestle Sensations flavor of cereal-flavored milk that is Frosted Flakes. I just feel like I don't really know what that would taste like. It's the flavor of Frosted Flakes is so subtle already because it's basically just a sugar cereal, one of like the platonic ideals of sugary cereals. So unless there's like notes of corn in the milk, which is such a weird thing to think about, corn milk.
Dan, this says here, is flavored milk that tastes like it's straight from the bottom of the cereal bowl. No bowl or spoon required. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
Featuring the beloved taste of frosted cornflakes,
huh,
complete with a rich and creamy dairy finish.
Do you think there are chunks in there? Like flecks and specks?
No. I'm going to make an authoritative guess. No.
All right. I mean, this one I'm probably not going to get.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting to put Frosted Flakes cereal milk on a bowl of Frosted Flakes and then bottle what's left after that. Twice filtered, twice brewed Frosted Flakes milk.
I am suspect of this. There's an Eggo waffle in the same release. Eggo waffle. Eggo waffle sounds pretty good. Mess with that.
Into it.
And so that's the news. A little bit slow, I think. But I mean,
gingerbread toast crunch.
Yeah,
anything but slow.
Who else is going to compete?
Well, if there's molasses, it might be slow.
Now, Dan, it has been an interesting story in the past couple of years to see Great Value cereals, which is Walmart's house brand, not just imitating, cloning, if you like, but innovating. And we've got that with some new Great Value cereals you tried.
Mm-hmm. So I got all three of the new Walmart store brand exclusive cereals, these being Caramel Apple, Chocolate Mint, and Kettle Corn. So a couple episodes ago, we did a whole bunch of like live taste tests and I asked for feedback regarding them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most people really liked live taste tests. There were some comments about one, there being too much like crinkly bag noise. So I will be more careful about that with these. And also that some people weren't as sure about having dead air while I'm eating them. So I think I'm going to request that you, while I'm eating these three respective cereals, that you fill my crunch time with some sort of anecdote about either the cereal or the related flavor.
Okay.
So I'm going to dive into the caramel apple first here.
Okay. I actually had a caramel apple cereal this week myself. My kids and I found the new Monster cereal at Target, and we bought a box of that and Monster Mash. I tried to get my daughters excited about the fact that women were finally being represented in the cereal aisle, that this is the last great glass ceiling, but they were not inspired by this cereal mascot. But I'm happy to report that I found it to be a very pleasant eating experience. How are we doing, Dan?
I wouldn't say it's really a caramel apple cereal. It's more of just a caramel cereal, if anything.
Okay.
It's a pretty good caramel cereal, all things considered. I think Carmella Creeper, as you were saying, has a lot more of that, like, green apple Jolly Rancher type flavor. But she, like all the monster cereals, are held back by that corn cereal base in some regards. Whereas all of these Great Value cereals are actually multi-grain cereals that contain corn flour, wheat flour, and oat flour. And molasses, I'm now seeing. So that's exciting. Big day for molasses. Maybe that's where some of like the caramelized flavor is really coming from. There's definitely no apple ingredients listed here. And I think that is reflected in the taste as well, where I'm just not getting any of that fruitiness, just like a really deep, dark brown sugary sweetness, which isn't bad. It's got a really hearty base to it. It reminds me more of the caramel Apple Jacks, which had the similar problem of not really having any apple flavor, but I think these are even better than that, in that it's not like a really synthetic, harsh caramel. It's more warm, authentic, and cozy, and while again I wish there was more apple flavor here, I think this is a really good, cozy cereal for these incoming fall times. So not bad. I would give it a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay. Next up, we have Chocolate Mint. That is, of course, represented by Girl Scout cookies, perhaps most notably, or Grasshoppers was a cookie from my childhood that's very similar to Thin Mints. I've always enjoyed the combo. Mint M&M's was one of the first varieties that I remember really loving. Peanut M&M's are good too. They feel pretty hearty, like a real hearty snack if you like that sort of thing. But Thin Mints are my favorite Girl Scout cookie. None of you asked, but they are number one. Though my wife prefers Samoas or Caramel Delights, depending on what area of the country you live in. Dan, how we doing?
It's a similar case with this one, where I think the name of the cereal is only half accurate. I do like how these look like Oreo O's almost exactly. I'm inclined to believe that Post is probably manufacturing all of these. And the mint flavor is pretty good. It's pretty strong, honestly. Because there was that Girl Scouts Thin Mint cereal that came out a while ago, and that
just
one...
just okay, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, because that one was very chocolate-forward and very light on the mint. Whereas this one, the mint hits you really hard, straight up. A real breath freshener. But the chocolate on the back end leaves a lot to be desired. It's like one of those cases where you're hit with the flavor really straight up, the mint, and then it fades away, and you're still left with like half of the chewing experience, but none of the remaining flavor. So you've kind of got these mealy dregs to finish, which again, there's oat flour in there, so it could be a lot worse. But it seems that both of these cereals so far are kind of operating on a half tank of gas. Not bad, though. I'm going to give it another 6.5.
Okay.
Maybe it's just a flat 6.
The last one I see on here is Kettle Corn cereal from Great Value. I feel like, I mean, they're looking like Corn Pops, but I don't know if that's, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be the same thing or not. Around here in my neck of the woods, they sell Scraggle Pop, is what they call the kettle corn. That's the big kettle corn player, to an extent where I would talk about Scraggle Pop outside of West Virginia and no one would know what I meant. That's when I learned about kettle corn, and that's what most people call it. But Scraggle Pop is so ubiquitous here. And honestly, more fun to say. There's a Scraggle Pop store at the mall, by the way, if you're ever in this neck of the woods. They got a lot more flavors than you'll find at the booths. The caramel's good. Cheddar. You can mix 50-50, whatever you want to do. There's a blueberry, too.
All right, this is the one. This is the one that you got to get, for sure.
Okay.
It blows the others out of the water, and it's honestly not even close. It very much is, like, not quite Corn Pops in texture. They don't have that, like, chew to them, so to speak. It's still crispy, because it is still a corn and oat cereal despite being a kettle corn cereal.
Okay.
I think that works to its advantage. Like, there was a rumored caramel corn pops coming for a while that just never materialized, and I think this is the spiritual successor to that idea in every way. There's a distinct salty savoriness to it that I just love.
Yes. Is there butter? Are you getting any butter?
There's butter, there's caramel, there's saltiness, and there's toasted corn.
At the risk of feeling like Violet Beauregard's dad in Willy Wonka, like, what about the tomato soup, Violet?
Oh, yeah, there's butter there, all right. I think this is a full experience right here, and, you know, I almost regret doing a live taste test because I'm just operating on vibes right now. I do feel like this is a complex, nuanced cereal that I could spend a good long time dissecting, especially with the in-milk experience, perhaps mixing it with some popcorn. But out of these three, this one just blows the others away, just because the caramel flavor here is even better than the caramel apple. And unlike those two, it fulfills on every promise of the name. This is kettled corn cereal. To a T. To a double T.
Well, that is thrilling. That is thrilling.
I'm giving this one a 9 out of 10.
Wow. Wow. Can you compare the texture to anything? I mean, we're talking about corn pops. So does it remind you of... Is it like an original piece? An original cereal piece?
It's... I mean, the texture is similar to... The texture is similar to, I guess, anything on the lighter end of the crispiness spectrum, so not like a crunchy bran flake, obviously, or anything, and not even quite as solid as like Fruit Loops Loop, but more on the end of like a Cinnamon Toast Crunch, where it's light and crispy, but still has a tactile satisfaction to it. But it's the combination of that texture and the corn pop shape, so... It's almost like a hybrid of the American and Canadian corn pops, where it's got the shape of the former but the texture of the latter.
Mm.
So, a true multicultural All right. experience.
Interesting. Interesting. I got a couple other cereals listed on here. Dan, are these things you've tried or are going to try? Is that...
Yes, these others I have tried already. I did a 50-50 live versus previously reviewed split here.
All right.
So these next two are the Quaker Chewy Granola Crispy Clusters cereal, a real mouthful of a name, and that translates to the mouthful of an experience. So this, to me, is a cereal that's built to be a mix-in.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong, they both taste really good, but it just feels like something you would taste as a component of a larger cereal. They're kind of these, globs of oats and puffed rice crisps together. So a real textural playground we got going on here of
okay.
all these bits and bobs, as well as the loose oats that really bring it all together. But again, if it had something a little heartier in there, like a bigger flake or a loop to even give more contrast to that, it'd be a really good time, especially because the flavors, when I was eating both of these, I couldn't help but think about how nicely they would complement other cereals that I've had recently. So the strawberry one, first of all, has this really... Excuse me. Got all the cereal in me now. The strawberry one specifically has this nice, like, strawberry jelly type flavor that's a lot different than the lighter, sweeter candied strawberry that you'd get in most cereals. So I want to pair this one with that Malto Meal strawberry shortcake cereal to get the full spectrum of like strawberry ice cream and shortcakey dessert upwards until the more tart, puckering strawberry jelly experience. Still very good on its own, but I think it'd be a masterful component in a mix-in. And the chocolate, likewise, a little light on the chocolate flavor itself, but that lighter, crispier texture would be a really nice complement to the density and fudginess of a double chocolate cray, which I always keep in my pantry anyway. So possibilities are endless with this one.
And it is bringing a chewiness, huh?
No, I think that's probably the most misleading part of the title is there's
it is
really
in huge
chewy.
Letters, guys. It is absolutely misleading.
I don't know why they did that, because chewy granola made with crispy clusters seems to be like a paradox. That's why
I was confused. I mean, it says chewy in such big letters. They definitely want you to think this is a chewy cereal.
There needs to be like a legalized codex of what chewy, crispy, and crunchy really means. It's always unclear and nebulous.
I don't think your box should be able to say chewy and crispy. I think that is promising a level of sensory overload that I don't think this cereal can deliver. Mm-hmm.
Still good, though. Still good.
All right. And lastly, some waffles, Dan.
Yes, these are Pebbles waffles, both Fruity Pebbles and Cocoa Pebbles waffles. These were sent to me by the Pebbles people themselves. They sent me a box full of dry ice to my porch with boxes of Fruity Pebbles and Cocoa Pebbles waffles inside, so I appreciate the involvement that went on here to get these to me. Unfortunately, they're only okay.
Uh-oh.
For the first time maybe ever, I'd say the Cocoa Pebbles variety is better than the Fruity Pebbles variety of whatever this spinoff is. Because, like, I've never really had a chocolate waffle before. Like, I've had chocolate chip waffles, but an actual fully brown cocoa powder fudgy waffle is a new experience to me, and I found it to be way more immersive than something just speckled with chunks of chocolate throughout. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was still frozen waffle quality waffle. Still very small, but with some syrup and butter, I think it was a nice enough time. It'd be interesting to see how these compare to those Cocoa Puffs waffles that are coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
The Fruity Pebbles one, on the other hand, just kind of left me a bit disappointed. Like, there's Fruity Pebbles flavor there, but it's just so light and distant. Again, a very, like, LaCroix effect when it comes to echoes of something rather than actual immersion.
Is there any actual, like, pieces or anything in them?
They show little specks of them on the one on the box, but I was having trouble seeing anything in my waffle. Maybe I just made a bad one out of the bunch, but I don't know. What really intrigued me was the back of the Fruity Pebbles waffle box, where they have this recipe for a Yabba Dabba Doolicious breakfast sandwich. First of all, I don't find the phrase doolicious appetizing in any context, but they recommend using these Fruity Pebbles waffles as a sandwich with, like, maple breakfast sausage and a fried egg inside of it. And it's like, I don't know if it works like that. Like, there are plenty of ways to combine sweet and savory, but Fruity Pebbles and sausage is not what I would really imagine.
That I don't think would be appealing whatsoever. That is, there is no, but somebody just need to fill the back of a box, I feel like.
Yeah. But I don't know, they're fine enough. And it's fun to have some dry ice.
Oh, that's always a treat. Yeah. Now, your purchase probably will not include dry ice.
Probably not.
Now, Dan, I'm very excited because you say you got a little Monster Cereal trivia quiz here for me. I'm thrilled because I just got the Monster Mash and the Caramel Apple one this week, so I'm in the headspace.
Yeah, so I wanted to mix up our little third segment here. I know we've done some trivia in the past where I tried to... Well, I guess I didn't school you. I'd see if you are schooled in terms of the cereal game here. So I've got a few questions, and basically all of these are just going to refer to a different monster cereal. So you'll have to name who it is. So, like, if I were to say which monster cereal is the first mainstream female cereal mascot, you'd say Carmela Creeper. You know, she's probably not really going to be an option here because we don't really know about her, and she doesn't have the lore built up yet. But we got five other monster cereals to choose from here. Ready for the first question?
You bet.
Okay, which monster cereal once raised controversy over a box featuring religious imagery?
I mean, my gut would tell me, I mean, I feel like it'd be Count Chocula. Some crosses, maybe.
That is correct. Yes. They once featured a box with a Star of David pinned to Dracula,
what?
Which, as you can imagine, people of the Jewish faith were not happy with that. I don't know. But yeah, that's now a rare box to try and find on eBay, apparently, and probably discontinued for a good reason. So the next question is, which Monster cereal raised controversy over the surprising way it colored people's stool?
Okay, I'm pretty sure that's Frankenberry. I feel like I've heard that before.
That one's true, yeah. Yes. The surprising case of the pink stool.
Yeah, I think we might have done a Sawbones episode about it once.
Wasn't that the case with, like, Smurfberry Crunch, too, where that happened?
Oh, I wouldn't allow that kind of slander. I don't know. I wouldn't believe it if they said it. It's a feature, not a bug.
Next question is, which Monster cereal faced a case of misinformation after a Wikipedia user claimed his real first name was Alfred and the rest of the world just treated this as a fact?
Frankenberry?
It's Count Chocula again.
Really? Alfred Chocula? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, I was doing research for this, looking for Monster cereal tidbits, and a lot of these listicles are like, did you know that Count Chocula's real first name is Alfred? And then I looked at another one where it's like, did you know that someone once went on Wikipedia and said Count Chocula's first name is Alfred? And everyone believed it?
The internet's great. Good job, internet.
Great place, great place. Next question. Which Monster cereal was the third one to be released?
I mean, I know it launched with Chocula and Frankenberry. I feel like Boo Berry was the third one to join the party.
That is correct. It was Boo Berry. Okay. Next question. Which Monster cereal's initials appear on a coffin on the 2015 Monster cereal castle you could build by cutting out the backs of all three boxes?
Is it Yummy Mummy?
That's correct. Yes. He did not come back that year after having appeared in 2013, and yet General Mills still teased us on that Monster cereal castle by including Yummy Mummy's coffin as well as Fruit Brute's skull. Next question. Which Monster cereal appeared in both Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs?
Fruit Brute.
That's correct again. You're doing great.
Dan, I don't get much approval in my life. Can you say that you're surprised, like, at what a good job I'm doing?
I'm so surprised, Justin. You know so much about the Monster cereals. I'm, like, really proud
Thank
of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dad. Wait, I mean, not Dad. God.
Okay. Next question. In the 2016 Monster cereal election, which Monster cereal overwhelmingly won the popular vote?
I mean, it should be Boo Berry. Is it Boo Berry?
Is that your final answer? Yeah. No, it was Count Chocula.
I mean, whatever.
He blew away the competition.
I mean, Boo Berry is the best. What's your favorite of the five? Six?
As a character, Boo Berry is my favorite, but as a cereal, Yummy Mummy is my favorite.
Oh, yeah. It's rare that a cereal mascot gets to be as much of a scum bum as Boo Berry clearly is.
What has he ever done?
He's so clearly a dirtbag. He just has like a hat and he just seems like kind of a dirtbag.
That's all it takes these days.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Which Monster cereal originally had vanilla flavored marshmallows?
Vanilla-flavored marshmallows. Was it Frankenberry?
No, it was Yummy Mummy.
Yummy Mummy had vanilla marshmallows. Huh.
Yes, whereas Fruit Brute originally had lime-flavored marshmallows.
Sweeties, as they called them in the old ads. I've got marshmallow sweeties in my cereal.
Man, they should bring that back.
Yeah.
Okay, which Monster cereal shared a voice actor with both the Pillsbury Doughboy and the Trix Rabbit?
Wow. I don't know. Frankenberry?
That would be Boo Berry.
Really?
His original voice actor, Paul Frees, really did a lot for General Mills.
Huh.
Okay, final question. This is a difficult one because it's not going to be multiple choice.
Okay.
What was the final year that the Monster cereals were made with oat flour?
Oh my god. I want to say like 2004.
See, that's what I originally thought, but in fact it was 1992.
No way. Are you kidding me, Dan?
Which is crazy. Because
like pining over a 31-year-old cereal blend?
When I was pining over something that was before I was even born, it blew my mind that I've never even had oat. I've never even had oat flour Monster cereals, and here I am leading a crusade about it.
Well, that's why. I mean, if I had said to you before you read that, do you remember what they were like with oat flour? What would you have told me?
I'd be like, oh man, they were so much better back when I was a kid. Like way hardier and denser. They totally got to bring that back.
This is why I would be afraid to like try Smurfberry Crunch, right? Like, what if I've never even had it? I don't know. So long ago. I cannot believe that. I can't. You know, I still remember. This is such a weird story, but I remember working on a lot. The first time I ever had Booberry. I was working, like, volunteering at a homeless shelter, a shelter for people experiencing homelessness. And I guess it must have been the City Mission, right? And they had some cereal that was about to expire that they were getting rid of, and they put it out on the line, and they were like, do you want a bowl? This is all going to go to waste. So I was like, yeah, I'll try a little bit, and I'll try it before. And I remember it being astounding. And that would have been pre-switchover. It's wild.
Crazy.
It's wild. It was delicious, though. I cannot believe. I would not have thought that. Huh.
I know. There's some dedicated diehards who have made an entire chart that lists the ingredients that each individual Monster cereal had for every single year since their introduction. Which is crazy to even find out that information.
That's wild. Folks, thank you so much for joining us for this. And I really appreciate you being here. But Dan, who else do we owe gratitude to?
We'd like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for our amazing podcast branding, as well as Samuel Rarden and M. Loper for designing our Empty Bowl merchandise.
That is going to be it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. And as Dan always says at the end of every episode of The Empty Bowl, don't forget to drink
your twice frosted Frosted Flakes milk.